is Luke 14:1-7 and 7-14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of the prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humiliated, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed too. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous."
Let us pray. Oh God, as we gather here, as we have heard the words of Jesus, the invitation for us, as well as those long ago, fill our hearts with your grace. Grant us the courage to be the people you have created us to be. Open our hearts, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last Sunday, we were reminded that the Sabbath was instituted and set aside to bring about good things. Coming to service or a synagogue or a worship setting ought to bring good things into our hearts and those who are attending. And last Sunday, one of those great and wonderful things was that a woman who had been bent over for 18 years was healed. And that was a wonderful, a beautiful thing. Today we hear yet again another wonderful possibility that comes when we honor and keep the Sabbath holy. I used to think keeping the Sabbath holy was going to church. You know, just when I was younger, doing my time in church. My father being a pastor, and so, you know, I went to church sometimes, even though I didn't want to go to church, but it was just sort of doing time. And when I could, I managed to get myself out of the sanctuary worship area, and I would go to the nursery and hang out there with kids. But over the years, I've come to a little bit different understanding of what it means to come together on the Sabbath, or what it means to even honor a Sabbath. I grew up in Western Michigan, a very religiously conservative area, where my friends who were Christian Reformed, and please don't take this as something negative against the Christian Reformed denomination, because I don't feel any negative feelings there at all. But I remember my close friends that if I happened to go to their house on a Sunday in the afternoon to hang out, we could not touch a ball, we could not throw a ball back and forth, we could not go outside and play, because those were the restrictive rules. On Sunday, you were supposed to sit quietly and just think. Certainly, it's important to be thinking on the Sabbath, and it's a part of what should happen for us when we come together to worship. We should be thinking, we should be open, listening. And today's scripture, I think, offers a window into that kind of gift that comes when we honor and keep the Sabbath holy. That is to learn, to be taught, to hear the words of Jesus that he has for us. And Jesus is very intent in his teaching for us today. You heard the story. He was invited to a prominent person's house, a prominent religious leader's home, for a dinner or a celebration, a feast of some sort, to be together. And Jesus observes as people are coming in, there are those who are clamoring for the best seats in the house. I often wonder, why do not people set up here in front in church? Aren't these the best seats? Maybe not. Or not perceived as the best seats, but it is a place where we can hear the best, right? Or maybe be closest to the pastor who's preaching. But Jesus sees that people are clamoring for the best seats around the table. Now, this may be reading a little bit into the text, but I was imagining who they were, who the people were who were trying to get the best seats. Perhaps those who were closest to this prominent Pharisee. And they knew him well, so they wanted to be close, kind of stake out their place of honor. But Jesus observes this and he tells this parable. When you come to a dinner or a banquet or a celebration, take the worst seats in the house, or maybe the least honorable seats in the house. Because if you take the best seat, inevitably, and this is kind of a logical teaching, inevitably there's going to be somebody who's a little bit higher on the chain than you, and the one who invited you is going to say, hey, you know, this is reserved for somebody else, a little bit better than you. And Jesus says, you're going to be humiliated. And you're going to, as you go back to a less honorable seat, I'd like us to not worry about that particular aspect of this story, you know, because isn't that what we worry about anyway? Don't we go there first? We want to have the best seats. We want to have the best possible gifts, and we strive after those, the best job, you know. We want to move our way up the ladder, and those are not bad things. But don't we worry about being dishonored a little bit more? And I think we should forget about that. We should forget about that, because that's really not what it's about. That's really not what life should be about. It's not how we should pattern our living, our following of Christ. Indeed, this passage has a strong sense of the importance of humility. And let's face it, when we're worried about being humiliated, it's a little bit difficult for us to be humble. It's a challenge for us to be humble when we worry about being humiliated. So, but Jesus goes on and he says, no, when you come to a banquet, when you're invited to a party and you come in, take the humble spot. Take the seat that maybe no one else wants. That's why nobody sits in the front. Nobody else wants these seats up here, right? You want the front seat. Thank you. He says, then when the one who invited you comes in, well, he will come right up to you and say, friend, come on up here next to me. I want you to be up close to where I'm at, because you're an important person to me, and I love being with you. I respect you. That's a good lesson for us. It's a lesson of humility. Don't talk about all the good things that I have accomplished, but rather talk about the things that other people have done that have just been an inspiration to you. And the more that we do that, the more that people will say, hey, come on up here and sit up here. I want you to be up here next to me, because I honor the way that you live your life, the humility that exudes from you. But then Jesus goes finally to the one who has invited him, the prominent Pharisee, and he wants to teach him as well. You see, when we come together on the Sabbath, it's an opportunity for each of us in our own places and stations in life to learn something wonderful that will not only change our life, but it will change the world. The more that we learn about what Jesus wants to teach us and what God desires for us, indeed, we have to believe that the more our world will become the kingdom. And so Jesus turns to the Pharisee and he says, and when you invite people to come to your house for a banquet, he said, don't invite the people that you know that they're going to invite you in return. You know, hey, you invited me to a great party, so next month I'm inviting you over to my house for a great celebration. Jesus says, no, invite those who have nowhere to go. Invite those who are broken, those who are lost, those who are struggling in poverty, those who don't have the resources to even go out and buy enough food to eat. He says, invite them to your celebration. And then he says, for those who humble themselves, they will be exalted, and those who exalt themselves, they're going to be humbled. We're getting back to that very beginning of the story where he says, where he observes people coming in, grabbing the first and best seat, and those who come in a little later, winding up in the less desirable seats. I remember the movie Pay It Forward, and I'm sure many of you remember that. A fun movie, a heart-grabbing movie. And what was grabbing for me, what was heart-stirring for me, was that this young boy who is growing up in a lower socioeconomic setting is in school, has a teacher that is, well, pretty idealistic, and he presents this model of paying it forward, how it will change the world if we all just took something nice or a random act of kindness and paid it forward or shared it with someone, then that person then will share it with somebody else. And he had this little nifty graph and model that showed this thing just spreading out and becoming a world-changing phenomenon. Pay it forward. It's really a story that happened. But the teacher, I think, in presenting this, he only half believed it was true. That's what I got from the story anyway, because when this young boy takes it seriously, he's dumbfounded that this boy is taking it seriously. He's trying to calm him down. Hey, you know, you need to take it easy. But the little boy is just caught up in this wonderful thing of changing the world. And so he indeed pushes forward. It changes the dynamic of this family. It changes his mother. It changes the teacher. And of course, it changes other people in the community in Las Vegas. Jesus wants for us to change the world. But that's not going to happen as long as we continue to try to grab the best seats or just invite the people over that we really like. Nothing wrong with inviting people over that you like. Nothing wrong with that. But there's a little bit more, or perhaps a lot more, that Jesus is calling us to. Invite those who have lost hope. Care for those who don't feel anyone cares. A few years ago, I had a t-shirt that I found, I don't know, in some magazine or something, or on a in a store. It on the front, it had a graphic of the Earth, you know, from space. So it was this beautiful picture of the Earth. And below it, it said, "Live simply." You know, it was that height of that movement of live simply, you know, eat organic. We still have that going on, and I still recommend it, even though I don't always do it. But on the back of the shirt, there was another phrase. So the front, get this in your mind, the Earth and the phrase, live simply. And then on the backside, so others can simply live. You've probably seen that phrase before. Jesus calls us not necessarily to live simply, although that does help. But he calls us to live so that others can live as well and find the abundant life that he desires to give us all. May that be living within us, that whole sense of humility and looking around for those around us who might need a hand, a smile, a how are you doing? Or how can I help you? Or just very simply, how are you today? It'll change our hearts and it'll change the world. May that be so. Amen.